You in peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. As many of you know, I am not able to be with you this morning due to a family death, particularly Elwin, Jeannie's father. Jeannie and I have flown to Kansas and are spending some time with family. I want to thank Pastor Phyllis Horman for filling in and for all the folks who've kind of scrambled this week to cover things. I do appreciate it very much. Our reading for this morning, this wonderful story about blind Bartimaeus, is one that we are all very, very familiar with. As I thought about this text, I thought about my childhood. I grew up in the desert, where when the conditions are just right, one looks over the flatness of the desert with its rising heat, and you see mirages. I remember as a kid the first time I'd run out into the desert and we were just playing out there, and we knew in our heads that there was no water anywhere, and yet as we looked out over the horizon, there it was, a lake that we had never seen before. The beautiful water floating just below the horizon. For all we knew, it was real. We, like so many before us in history, fell victim to the mirage that is caused by the bending of light. Cool air above, as the light passes through the cool air above and hits this heated air near the ground, light reflects or bends. And if the heat is high enough, light can bend almost into a U-shape. A few years ago, there was a wonderful photograph of a ship, a huge ship, floating literally over the desert. It was a mirage. Light had bent just enough to make it appear as if the ship, which was really quite a bit further out in the Suez Canal, actually was floating on the desert. It's remarkable. Light can play tricks on us. And yet this morning, it's the one thing that Bartimaeus wants most. As Jesus is walking by, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, it says, was sitting by the roadside. And when Jesus had begun to walk by, Bartimaeus says, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Somehow in his blindness, he not only knew that it was Jesus, but he announces to everyone, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." It's as if in his blindness, he not only knew Jesus' name, but who Jesus was. And of course, the crowd wants him to be quiet, and Jesus calls him and calls him to be brought over. And he does. He springs up and he comes to Jesus. And then Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" A simple question. And Bartimaeus answers in a really simple way. "My teacher, let me see again. Let me see again." At first we may say, well, what else would a blind man ask for? But this blind man had just known who Jesus was, the son of David. I wonder sometimes in our own faith, in our own lives, how well we see and how easily light bends for us. I was thinking about way back in the 50s how the tent preachers would go out, or the traveling evangelists would go out, and they would whip crowds into a frenzy with this alternating fear and joy and ecstasy and promise. And people would get all heated up. And like an illusionist act in Las Vegas, the preacher would whip people up into this big frenzy, get them all hot and bothered. And then they would begin to see and believe. I think I would say that they would believe what they were not seeing with their own eyes. Healings and miracles. They would see the Spirit floating around them. It's almost as if the heat of the moment had bent light. They found themselves led to a mirage. It doesn't just happen in Pentecostal tent meetings. We see it over and over and over again. One of the principal mantras of people who lie for a living is that if you continue to say something often enough, eventually people will begin to think it's true. They are masters of bending light so that we believe what our eyes do not even see. Sometimes we ourselves are subject to light that is bent in the wrong way. We grasp so strongly for traditions and long-held beliefs about what people say or do not say about us or about our church. We box ourselves in our faith that we can only worship a certain way or believe a certain way or only use a certain creed or we certainly can't sing that song or this song. We box ourselves in so much that the light bends to our will and we begin to believe our own lie. And sometimes those lies take lives. For a good bit of American history, we have bent light to believe that racism is okay. That misogyny is just the way it is. So much is happening now that we have even bent light in such a way that we do not see how much violence is happening around us. Recently, a woman was raped on a subway, on public transportation with other people in the car, and not one single person helped her or called 911. Some took out their phones. The ever-presence and frequency of violence and mistreatment has bent the light of our morals so that we don't even see it sometimes. Or we believe that it must not be our responsibility. Blind Bartimaeus asks Jesus a question that I wonder if we have the courage to ask ourselves. Let me see again. Let me see again with clear eyes, with eyes unfettered, unclouded by apathy or political will or selfishness, or not wanting to get involved, or even wealth. I don't know. I think for myself, I wonder if I have the courage to say to Jesus, "Teacher, let me see again. Let me see what you're calling me to and what the world can be. Let me see what love looks like. Let me see the world the way you see it." That's really the beauty of this moment. The eyes with which Jesus sees Bartimaeus are unclouded by worries about how he became blind or what his sin was or, you know, how things might unfold for him in the future. Might he turn out to be a robber or a rapist or a rascal? None of that concerns Jesus. He sees Bartimaeus in the same way that he sees us as beloved children. Eyes unfettered. My teacher, Bartimaeus, says, "Let me see again." And his eyes are opened. And Jesus says, "Go. Just go. Your faith has made you well." As we gather again and again in the days to come, may we have the courage to pray with Jesus. My teacher, let me see again. Amen.